Have you ever had a truth that was in your soul? You understood it, but you didn't know how to get it out. Didn't know how to tell somebody else. That's the dilemma of a preacher most of the time, and certainly is tonight. I want to be dealing with, I just entitled the message tonight, Work of Faith. And it goes much deeper than that. And I hope tonight that you catch the vision of what I believe is here for us. In the book of Galatians chapter 2, I believe it's one of the greatest verses on the Christian life. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. And in that verse he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for the marvelous, beautiful Word of God. I pray, Father, tonight that you might help us to understand some wonderful truth. I pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God to teach, to enthuse whatever it is that you want to be accomplished in lives. And for this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe when we look at this verse, it is talking about our life right now. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live. That life is in the Son of God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11, the Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So you and I, we have that life right now, and that life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that it is receiving him. That's how we get it. 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so as you and I receive him, we have life. This is elementary, I believe, to most here tonight, but yet it's always tremendous to be able to look at and to see this marvelous, wonderful truth that God has for us. I believe also, when we talk about this life that he's referring to when he says, nevertheless, I live, it recognizes nothing lower than holiness. Think about it for a moment. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 5, verse 3, excuse me, and every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You and I tonight, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ and we're allowing him to live in us and to live as he wants us to, we find that it is a life of holiness. Though you and I, we can do nothing of ourselves, we find that there is a spiritual effort that is made. It is always a walk of faith, but there's an effort or a work that accompanies our salvation. We're not saved to sit. We're saved to serve. We're saved to accomplish things. We're saved to work. Consider the next several verses as I read them in 1 Peter 1:13. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I believe we'd have to say that spiritual effort. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that has been brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says to work it out. We don't work for it, but we're to work it out. Hebrews 6:11 says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. He says in another place in 1 Thessalonians, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So there's effort, there's work that takes place on our side. Now we understand something, that is, we need the power of the Spirit of God to accomplish the work. We understand that very well because when we try and try ourselves, it doesn't work. See? In 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 27, Paul says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And I like this found in Colossians 4. Verse 12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, we can't do this, but there is spiritual effort. There is a spiritual work that you and I, we must be seeking after. There's a clear connection between our faith and spiritual exertion. Jesus answered and said to him, John 6:29, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Think of those words. This is the work of God. What's the work? To believe on him. Our life in the flesh is to be lived by faith. You would agree with that tonight, I believe. And as we think about the book of James, we find that faith is a work in progress. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He said faith without works is dead. And so there's the two that go together. We find in Ephesians that we are his workmanship. And I'm going to use this word, recreated, to work as before it was at the fall of man. God created us to work. That's what he made us for. He placed us in the garden. And because of sin, we find that what took place, we now labor in the sweat of our face, the sweat of our brow. And all that because of sin. But I want to ask you the question tonight. What is this work that we're speaking of? What is this work? And I want to share with you four different things tonight that I believe that we can look at, and we can look at as a work that you and I ought to be about. Did you know it's labor to know and remember what and why we believe something? It's work to find out what it is that we believe. I believe that's the essence of John 6:29 when Jesus answered, and this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. It's hard work. And I believe that there's a phrase within Galatians 2:20 that demonstrates Paul's work of memory, contemplation, and judgment as he thinks about the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this work? What is it that we believe? Well, it's gathering up all the facts of the Lord's person and of the Word of God. It's finding out who he is and contemplating these things. And this is all working upon the ground of faith, because we cannot know those things unless we believe what God has shown us in his book. Every process of memory is work. Have you figured that out? As you get older, you'll figure that out even more. You know, aren't you glad for memory foam for your shoes? Because when you get there, you'll know why you got there. That's crazy, but maybe there's some truth to that. And there is this process of memory. It's a work. Every thought comes by work. I've had people sometimes say, well, how did you come up to that kind of conclusion? What's a matter of work? It's a matter of thinking something through. It's taking the facts and comparing them, as he says in his word, to compare Scripture with Scripture. It's labor, and it's hard work. Normally, people think of hard work, they're thinking of hard physical work. But I want to share something with you. When I started the church many years ago, I was working for a trucking company. And at that time, I was loading, it was a freight company. I was loading 2.5 trucks a night. Now, they weren't as big as they are today, but it amounted to 100 feet of floor space that I had to load every night. I found it more difficult to study for a message than to work 8 or 9 hours a day. It was almost, when I was working midnights, it was almost, when I went in Sunday night, a relief to just be able to work with the hands. Because thinking causes us to work. To work, I believe, in this essence, is to dwell upon some things of God. To think about His atonement. To think about His high priestly work of intercession. To stop and contemplate these things, the very mystery of His presence, to think about that He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and three being one. I don't understand it. The longer I live, the less I understand it. But this one thing I know, it's a truth in the Word of God. I accept it. And I contemplate it, and I think about it. And what it has done to me as this has become more difficult is show to me that my God is greater than I thought He was previously. His ways are past finding out. And so it's a labor to know and to remember what it is that we believe, why it is that we believe it. I believe, secondly, it's labor to bear in mind our own weaknesses. That's a tough one, isn't it? How many of you get up in the morning excited to go look in the mirror and see what's looking back at you? I mean, many people go look in the mirror and they scream. And perhaps it's probably wise to scream. But it's tough to look at ourselves, to do a thorough self-inspection of our actions, to look at everything that we do and see if it's on par with the Lord, to think about our own thoughts. What is it we think about? I dare say the thought life of many Christians, if we were to know it, would scare the fire out of us. Oh, we look at what they do. We see them in church. We see all the outward stuff, but we don't see the thoughts. We don't know the motives of others. But we need to stop and inspect our motives. Why are we doing what are we here doing? That's a labor to figure out our weaknesses. This doesn't happen by trusting to just automatically take place. It's contemplating, really, the spiritual riches of Christ to empower us to what? To overcome those weaknesses. And so we have a labor to know and to remember what and why we believe. It's a labor to bear in mind our own weaknesses. That's a tough one. We can look at each other and we can figure out what's wrong with the other person. That's not really a hard thing to do. And when we make mention of it, it becomes gossip and all other kinds of things. But it's not hard to see weaknesses in other people. But it is very difficult to see it in ourselves. By the way, let me give you a little hint here. What you see in others is probably recognizable to you because it's in you. That's scary. But it's labor to know and remember what and why we believe. It's labor to bear in mind our own weaknesses. But I would go another step and say it is labor to pray with all diligence. How many would say, preacher, prayer is hard work. It's a difficult task. We know that be true by how little it is made. We know that be true because of the terror that comes into some lives if you announce a lengthy time to be devoted to it. I remember the first time I was invited to an all-night prayer meeting. I thought, what am I going to say for the next 15, 16 hours through the middle of the night when I want to go to sleep? What am I going to be asking God? And quite frankly, I was a little trepidatious of it, but it became one of the great experiences of my life. Think about it for a moment. The disciples, when Jesus was about to go to the cross and he said to watch and to pray, and he went a little bit farther, the Bible tells us. And when he returns, we find they went to sleep. At one of the most critical times, he said that the spirit was strong, but the flesh was weak, and they certainly needed to be in prayer. It's a labor to pray with all diligence. Listen, do you have a prayer list? Just to make one out would be tough. After you make out the prayer list, then stop and think about, what is it in the life of this individual that I need to ask God to do? And I don't mean just say, bless this one, bless that one, bless the other one. I'm talking about deep-seated prayer, asking God to do a specific work in their life. Prayer is hard work. It's not easy to do. But we can't do it, by the way, in our own strength. And the last I would like for us to think is this. It's labor to worship, both privately and publicly. Both privately and publicly. It's too easy to excuse ourselves from it in favor of worldly excitement. It's too easy to go after something else. But worship is something that comes out of a willing heart. One who's willing to labor in it. One who's willing to sit down, whether it be privately or publicly, and to read the scriptures, to sing some marvelous songs that lift our soul, to listen to a message, to allow God to work in our hearts as we lift our praise unto Him. By the way, there's something, I cannot do this. No preacher can shame someone into it. We cannot shove them into it. It must come out of a willing heart. But it's a labor. And it's one that is not taking place as I believe it probably ought to. It's hard work. You see, it's not easy to get up on a Sunday morning when everybody else is sleeping. Get yourself all ready to go to church. Come in and greet people, sit down, sing a few songs together. Sometimes songs we don't particularly know or like, but yet they're there for our admonishment and for our help. To hear the preaching that sometimes we wonder, what's he saying? Sometimes it's hard. Many years ago, I had the privilege of hearing Dr. John R. Rice preach. I don't know if you've heard Dr. John R. Rice. He was very well known back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, right up into the 80s. I remember when he passed away. He had a paper he called The Sword of the Lord. He did evangelistic work all over, especially in the South. One of his young proteges was Billy Graham, believe it or not. And I had the privilege of hearing him speak. And I sat there in my seat. I was probably about where Jeff is at. And he's in the pulpit. And he's speaking in a monotone, just saying the words, going on and on and on and on and on and on. And saying this, that, and the other thing, and another thing. And I'm looking up and I'm thinking, this is the great John R. Rice. It wasn't exciting. It wasn't tugging at me with that fleshly appetite But then God did something. God showed me it was a matter of the Spirit. And God was using him in a spiritual sense. He was a man full of the Spirit of God. And that message turned me inside out. How did it happen? It was a labor. It wasn't easy getting to that spot. But God allowed in his grace. You and I, we have the marvelous privilege to live our life in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you think the Apostle Paul just did everything naturally and easily? I think not. Becoming a Christian is easy. Repent, God saves us. But having that walk with him, having that where he lives within us, it's work. And if we're not willing to put in the time and the labor, we'll never have that intimate, marvelous relationship that is what he wants for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for a time in your word. Lord, I have no idea for the things you have in my heart got to these. But I do know, oh God, that you're the one to whom we look. And you're the one who lives in us, and we live in you. And we understand that we're not saved by works, but we are your workmanship. And there is a labor that is involved. And I pray, oh God, that you would make us strong laborers in Christ. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.